This is one of those moments where you contemplate whether you should start the episode with a song or maybe a Bible verse from Psalm or maybe from the book of Ecclesiastes. Maybe a Bible verse that tells you about how life is frail and you should only serve God with all your heart, with all your spirit, and with all your whole being. Because that's the only thing that will profit at the end of it. Hi friend, welcome to this week's episode of Dave Talk. If this is your first time of listening to this podcast, you are welcome home. Receive a warm virtual hug from my end through my voice. I don't know how that is going to happen, but just picture it happening. Receive everything that you need in this season through my voice. I don't know how that is going to happen, but in the name of Jesus, receive it. For my podsties, as I heard one random podcaster say in her podcast, you know where you dropped your pillow. Thank you for always coming back to listen and not just to hear. Because as I would always say, there's a difference between listening and hearing. When you hear, you are hearing just to give your opinions. That's when arguments comes in. But when you listen, you are listening because what is being offered to you is a good report. So yeah, grab your pillows and join us by the still waters. As in this episode, our soul is going to be restored by the help of the Holy Spirit. This recording has been a struggle, I must admit. Because for those of you who paid heed, I had no episode last week. And it's because of the events that had piled up on my head. And it is not still an excuse, but I think that explains why the episode had been a struggle or felt like a snag. I was hitting a snag every time I tried to record. But I trust by sharing this, by my weakness, God would begin to be glorified. Last week, I got to write an examination that, or rewrite an examination I had written about, I think, 5 years ago. Yeah. That's a while. And before then, before last week, that's before I got to write the examinations, I had been offering it up to the Lord. I had been trying to get myself, the Holy Spirit has been helping me or had been helping me to give myself into studying. It's a very funny story, but just hang on with me. I hope I tell this story beautifully by the help of the Holy Spirit. And it had not, the reality of me writing an examination that I had failed 5 years ago did not hit me until it was a week to write this particular examination. And I remember how I was just being, it is well over the whole situation. You know how we get Nigerian Christians, the Christianese we speak to ourselves. Like, no, it's no problem. It's well, it's all sorted out. That whole lie that we lie to ourselves, but deep in your heart, you know it is not well. And that is when I started preparing for the examination solely and wholeheartedly. And even in my wholeheartedness, I was not wholeheartedly rooted and studying well. But I thank the Holy Spirit because he would not let his beloved see corruption. He used my friends to hold me accountable. I'm shouting out to them. I would not mention their names before you guys start to ask me who is this person and who is that person. They got to hold me accountable and put alarms. Like, that was what shocked me. This my particular friend kept an alarm to call me to ask me whether I had read. This my particular friend again was checking up on me to study with me and keep me on peace and in alignment, and it was beautiful. And I'm using this opportunity to thank God. I'll just take it as a gratitude corner to thank God for friendships and not just any type of friendships, for godly friendships. Friendships that were built on the gospel and are standing solely rooted in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I remember one time before the examination date, I was walking home and I had my headphones on and I was in a haste. Like, that haste was prompted, or it came up because there were a lot of things that was processing in my mind that were just junk, to be honest. And I was walking so fast and I was not in a haste. I want you to recount that. And I felt like the Holy Spirit just told me, David, calm down. And I feel like that's what he's ringing into our ears. Even you listening, maybe that's what he's speaking into your ear, but you're not just paying heed to his voice. He's like, calm down, David. Slow your pace. Nobody is chasing you. The fact that you are in a haste or you're going to walk fast now is not that you are going to speed an event or you are going to change. It's not going to change anything. It is not going to solve the whole conversation you're trying to avoid. It is not going to solve it. That whole piece was just, you can see it as me trying to run away from a conversation or run away from myself in that whole sense. And on the road, there and then, I thank him for his mercies. I just stopped. Like anybody that was watching me, maybe from a commercial vehicle or maybe their own car or from a shop, would be like, ah, what is this boy trying to do? Or what's happening with this boy? Is he mental? And I stopped. And I breathed in and I breathed out. If there's any, is there anyone, I breathed out. I breathed out. And I took my time to take a walk. And whilst I was taking that whole walk, it was a whole process for my heart. Because I noticed that I had carried a fear that towards the examinations. Because prior to the last one I had written, I had failed. But I did not want to agree that I had that angst in me. I remember I was having a conversation with my friend and she was like, do you feel scared? And I felt scared. But I said no, because I was trying to build up this whole facade of I am strong and I should have everything figured out. How dare I not have everything figured out for myself? And that in itself, if you look at it from the standpoint of God and scriptures, is pride. And I had to admit to her, I admitted to her that I felt scared. And I remember a friend of mine asking me, he's going to listen to this episode. We are like in his kitchen and he called me and he was like, do you feel anxious for this exam? Is it about the examination? And I went, no, it's not. I'm saying all this thing to reiterate the fact that sometimes, or most times, we don't want to admit that we are struggling. And in that whole sense, healing cannot meet you. So I was held accountable through the long run of studying for this examination. And something funny used to happen. When I sit to want to read, I would just open up scripture and I would start to get invested in it. It was beautiful, but the Holy Spirit helped me to actually get into reading and studying for exam, and I thank him for that. When I was reading, I was not reading wholeheartedly. I was doing the reading because I did not want to fail. And it's a wrong perception, because I am in the kingdom of God and nobody in the kingdom of light is a failure. You cannot be a failure. It's not written in our DNA. Even I want to fail, I cannot fathom the whole atmosphere or the whole reality of failure. So I had that wrong perception. And For the few times, I had these dreams that really pushed me on my toes. That was so funny. The first dream, I wrote this examination in the first dream, and I failed. And I woke up, And the dream was so funny, but it was like the Lord's mercy towards me, because at that point I had not given myself to reading. It was like the Lord's mercy towards me too. David, stand up, you have to read that whole stuff. And I told my friends about these dreams and they held me accountable more further. And I noticed that as I was studying more, everything started going with ease. And I am not saying this to say that the whole angst left immediately. I knew that there was a problem, but I could not place my hand on where this fear was coming from. I did not know whether it was mainly about failing the exam, or maybe because I had not given myself to reading fully. I did not know what to place my hand upon. And I was sitting this day, I was studying with a friend, and we got to have a whole conversation that the Holy Spirit was solely involved in. I could feel him there. It was holistically. And I remember going to bed, and the next day was the examination, and I wanted to study, but I did not give myself fully, wholeheartedly into Holy Spirit, help me say this story. I feel like I'm hitting a snag, and I want to say in all sincerity, so everything that your heart needs to be edified with would be taken out of this story. Even I'm saying it in my weakness. I feel so vulnerable saying this. I feel so bare. I feel so naked saying this. But it's in my weakness that His strength is made perfect. And my friend was just speaking to me. He was like, Irinzi, I should mention his name. Why am I saying my friend like he's a mysterious person? And he's like, when you go for this examination, try to socialize with people like a human being, in his words. That's the tonality he had. And I'm like, I don't like socializing with people, because I'm not the kind of person that you'd meet, or I would meet you in an event and I'm like, I know you on so and so platform. We have met on this online space. So yeah, let us work together on this place. I don't know how to go about that. So it was like weird. It's his kind of person. Irene's his kind of person that can socialize with people. He can have friend. He can make a friend even where there is no friend. He's that friendly. And people see me and they perceive I am rude. I am not rude. I am easy to go with. I am easy to flow with. It just depends on the kind of conversation you bring before me. If you bring a useless conversation, true to God, I would not answer you. I should not say anything other than that. So I decided to pay heed to his words. So I developed a trick. When I was going to this examination, I bought bubble gums, and I was like, I would use it to start a conversation. Maybe somebody's out here and I'm like, you can have this gum to just chew. I don't know how that would. That was, as I'm thinking of it now, it sounds so dumb. Like, so I went for this examination with my gum that I ended up chewing only me. And I saw people. I think aside evangelism, that's the only time I had been opened up to see that much people. And not that the last time I rose the exam 5 years ago, I did not see them. This time I got to see them through a God lens. There's this burden in my heart when I get to see souls, is that I start to wish things on the scale of God. Like, do all these people here have the knowledge of God? Like, if we were to take a statistic around their family member with the Holy Spirit, their family training, with the Holy Spirit, are their parents godly? Did they build them up in the Word? So I got to see them, or see people from that standpoint, and it was very much crazy. So I went and I saw people were trying to catch up for this examination. They were trying to redigest everything they had read. They were just up there with books, and I'm like, it's not that deep. You guys just like being dramatic, but I sat in this place beside this woman who was very much advanced in age. God bless this woman. Why? Because I slept off. And when I slept off, in the midst of the whole storm, everybody was just running around trying to gather one or two informations about how, or the subject they were writing, or the whole course flow. And there is David sleeping, chewing gum. And I remember I was there was a prayer that my friend prayed for me before I went for this examination. She goes, I'm trying to gather the prayers. It's like, the mind of Christ would show itself evident. It's not that it was not evident in other things I had been doing, but the mind of Christ would help me. And I felt this ease in the long run, even though that angst was still there. It was like a drop of angst in the midst of an ocean of hope. So it got lost, but it was still there. So this woman woke me up and we were like, yeah, prepping for the examination. So we got into the examination hall. I wrote the exam with ease. That's the testament of God's goodness again, I should recount. And well, when we finished, I went out and I left. I went home. I did not want any social interaction. I left. I went home. Even though there were stories that were assigned to that, but I would not tell that. I just left home. And on my way home, the Holy Spirit started speaking. And he brought up why, he made me see why I had that angst in my heart. And he referenced it 5 years back to when I wrote the first examination, and it was when I was checking my results. You know, this whole force, this zealousness, is zealousness the right word? Permit me to use it. When people get to check their results, and there's this fear that comes with it also. I remember it enveloped me so much, I could not even check it. I had to give my mother to help me check my results. And that is really formed what really preceded, in the long run affected me 5 years in the future. I remember when she checked the results, there was this look she had upon her face as in disappointment. Noise of the silence, if I'm using it in a poetic sense. She did not need to tell me I had failed. Like, the disappointment on her face really rubbed off on me, and it scarred me, it wounded me. But I still understand that she meant it. It was in her intention she meant it. She did not want to do it in another way, but I understand the intention behind it, because an African parent would do that. A Chinese parent would do that too. So I understood where she came from, but I noticed that it was what I carried upon my heart. I did not want to disappoint people so well, because at the back of my head, a subtle part was telling me, you are going to fail, that whole stuff, but I was trying to silence it. And the problem was, I'm not meant to silence it. The Bible tells us that we hold every thought captive and we bring it at the feet of Jesus. So I was trying to brush it over or sweep it under the carpet. And when he brought it up, I noticed it was a wound. And immediately by his help, I started praying and I opened it. I offered the wound unto him. I asked him to heal my heart from that whole situation that had scarred me so much that it was costing me an arm and a leg. I had been thinking of how, if you think about it, it is some way people pleasing. I had exalted the opinions of people above the opinions of God, forgetting that even in the midst of me trying to entertain worry, because worry in some way is an insult to God. Anxiety is an insult to God's character. Depression is you trying to wage war against God's word, and no one would ever mock God. That amidst all these things, he was present and helping me to write in ease. I did not fear for 1 second whilst I was writing the examination. So in that whole sense, I got to see again that God wants to be involved in the details, and he's very, very much intentional about the well-being of your heart. And he wants you to prosper not only in finances, but in the fluidity of your heart, in the way you interact with people. He wants you to prosper in that whole sense too. I'm just saying this story, maybe as I've said this story out loud, maybe scenarios are brushing over you where you let fear triumph. You let fear take a hold of you and glory in you. glory in you, letting you to give it a throne that it's not even meant to have in your heart? What are the scenarios that had that has been painted to you where you gave worry the ultimate throne and not the God, Lord Almighty, who said he is always with you and he would never leave you nor forsake you? We get carried away in the noises of this world. We live in a very vocal world. Everybody's talking. Right now, you're listening to me talk. Right now, there is a podcast out there where people are speaking. On Instagram, there's a reel, somebody's saying rubbish. On YouTube, it's a world of vocality. But only a few people are saying what is needed to be said. And I remember when I finished that exam, I missed the whole angst that was trying to hold on to me after the Holy Spirit had exposed the problem and I offered it unto him by his help. I got his sponsor. You know when he sponsored words into your mouth? He sponsored some words into my mouth and I said I would not write this exam again. This is the last time I am going to come here to write these examinations. I have excelled. I have excelled. Why? Because I am speaking. Voodoo people do these things. Enchanters, they wake up. I've heard stories where you would hear voodoo and fetish people wake up in the morning and stare at the sun for 6 hours. And for that 6 hours, they are chanting spells, whether to make somebody mad, whether to lock up somebody's future or destiny. They are speaking these words because they are using God's patterns also. Because people have translated that Bible verse that tells us that the power of life and death lies in your tongue. They have translated it to maybe soothe their flesh and their wicked heart desires. But even the wicked and evil people understand this. How much of me that was given the precepts of God by the help of God and by his grace, the gospel, he has given me the gospel. That when I see something, empowered by the Holy Spirit now, empowered by faith in God, believing that before I even said he had answered me, believing again that it is going to come into fruition, it's going to happen. So I just declared it. And when I declared it, this ease, another wave of ease just blew over me. We live in a world again where fear is like on the top of the menu of the meal being served. Like even in our Christian work, we cannot deny the fact that there are some things that scare us. Like when he talks about surrender. Some of us don't want to admit the fact that there is a part of us that still loves the world. There is a part of you that still is searching for love where God calls evil and demonic, and you should not go there. And I think that's the problem when you introduce religion into all these things, is that you think God just wants to see a part of you that is perfected by your own works, and the part of you that is ungodly, you want to hide it away from him. So you come to church with holy hands to God on the altar, sing the songs, record the TikTok video, post on your Snapchat, but you still leave that church. You still leave the house of God with the burdens and the desires that you took from the world, as though you did not come to the presence of God. You come before him, you hear the sermon, you hear God's word being preached to you from his altar. It is his Holy Spirit sprushing the words, if your way you're worshiping is solely dependent on the Holy Spirit and on the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You hear these words being passed to your hearts, but instead you take it. And you take the word for another person. It does not apply to you, all that full stop. When you speak about people who are in your own situation, you take it and you soothe the words, you put a shield, a hedge of protection over you, and you carry it and save it for other people. So when you're speaking to them, you can use these words against them. But that in itself is pride. I feel like what the Lord is calling us to in this episode is to admit that we are struggling. Because that's the first step of finding healing. Are you afraid? Say you are afraid. I remember it was sometime, I think last week also, I was praying and I felt so exhausted. And I got to this point where I just told the Holy Spirit I felt tired. Like, he's a person. I think we should recount that. I think all these problems stems off from when we don't know the Holy Spirit as in a friend, but we know him as in a theological sense or a theological doctrine. The same way when I feel exhausted with my friend who is by my side and I can tell him how I feel exhausted about, is how the Holy Spirit wants you to involve him in everything that pertains your life. Because he's the only person that would help you. Because let's face it, there are some holes in your heart, or there are times maybe in the night where you would not have that friend to be there with you, but the Holy Spirit is the friend that is present in he's the ever-present help in the times of need. So when you need that hug when nobody's present, or maybe he has given you that hug, you should remember that. Or maybe you need that hug. You should know this, that he is present there in the silence, in the noises that the world is trying to pass into your heart. What are the fears you have carried for so long? Maybe you've been 10 years in the body of Christ. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. I've been speaking about that, and the Holy Spirit is helping me to see it in another light. That people just see search your heart in the sense that they just want to have a prayer point. But all these things is beyond this prayer point. Is that you're saying these things with the intentions that God, in the form of his Holy Spirit, should search your heart. And while he's searching your heart, he is bringing up the fears. Ask him now. I'm praying this over you in the name of Jesus, O Holy Spirit, that whatever person that this sound is falling upon his or her heart, that right now you begin to search their heart. You search their heart, and whatever fear or inferiority and complex, or if it pertains to low self-esteem or failures in some sense, everything that does not exalt you, O God, in their hearts, let it now be exposed. Let your light shine in accordance to your word, and let every darkness dissipate. In the name of Jesus, I feel like we should constantly put our hearts in this circle, because our heart is constantly absorbing whatever we give ourselves into. So if you're not giving yourself into the word of God, fear would overwhelm you. And fear is so trickish that he clings onto your heart and he hides. He's like, he's sponsored by sin, I should recount that. But he hides himself into you, that you can even go before the presence of God with it in your heart. And the thing is, the Bible tells us that God cannot behold iniquity. But think of those times where you carry that worry into the presence of God. When he calls you and he tells you to cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Think of all those moments where you let fear overwhelm you so much so, whether be it for a day, a week, a whole month, maybe you're even still carrying that fear. Fear of being seen as low, fear of being seen as an insignificant person, fear of holding a standard before people and letting that standard fall down, whatever fear you are holding. Let it go. Because it's when you surrender that he can have his way. When you surrender all these things to him, and you come boldly before his presence, because as Jesus is, so you are on this earth. That your heart constantly is being rejuvenated. whatever fear you have, there was this point, I think it should be early 2022, I had this fear of speaking. And it overwhelmed me so much. So I was looking for people to cover me, even on my episodes that I had to, some episodes I had to even take down because they were just fig leaves I was using to cover myself, those episodes. Even though we spoke about God in those episodes, it was with the wrong heart posture I did them. So I had to take them down. I felt so inadequate in my whole speech pattern that I was looking for people to cover me. But the Holy Spirit was there looking at me like, even before you knew how to speak, I had given you this platform. What makes you think I would leave you? Are you seeing how unbelief and all these fears in some ways are insulting God's character? Maybe as I'm speaking, your heart or the Holy Spirit is bringing things into remembrance. And please, dear listening one, as He is bringing it into your remembrance, repent of it and ask for His mercy. Because there's something about all these processes. When He brings this thing up, it's because He has weighed. He's the helper, He's the comforter, and in the courts of the heavenlies, He has seen that this thing is going to be a stumbling block and it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. So He wants you to take care of it there and then. But if you stall, if you harden your heart as in rebellion, you have to miss a season that He has set for you to enter into. It's not because He did not call you. It's because when you heard His voice, you slammed the door and you chose to sweep that whole process or that whole pain under the carpet. And you might as well just miss a whole season that you were meant to bring people even into. So it does not only affect you. It affects the soul that pertains to you also. I think we should think of this every time that we feel a fear for something that God tells us not to fear clearly, we should think of it how it does not only affect us, but it affects the souls that are going to gain from our testament of God's goodness in that area of our lives. That it does not only touch you, it does not only have to do with you, but it has to do with the souls that God has set aside for you. I'm saying all these things to tell you that even if right now as you are listening to me, there is a worry that is waging war or there is this angst that is in your heart that you don't know how to get rid of it, is that in the gospel, Jesus calls all who are burdened and heavy laden. Jesus died for you as much as He died for the whole world, for your Muslim neighbor, for your atheist friend, for that person that looks so unsavable. Jesus died for them. And the gospel is sufficient in itself that it is able to keep you from stumbling, and it is the water you should resolve to whenever time you feel thirsty. So when you feel that fear, what does the gospel say? Did it say that Jesus became you? Did it say that Jesus took your shame? What does it mean to you that Jesus took your shame on the cross so that you would be called Him? He traded His place. He traded your place. God gave His Son for your sake. So His Son took the fullness of His judgment and His wrath on that cross, what you rightly deserved. Your shame, He took it. Your pain, He took it. He took everything that sin dared to glory about you. He took it. Everything that sin had lorded over you, He took it upon Himself. And on that cross on Golgotha, He crucified and He killed it. He laid His life down for you. Jesus, the Son of God, laid His life down. And God, by the sacrifice of His Holy Son Jesus, because His justice and His wrath had to be atoned for, calls you righteous because of His Holy Son. And He did not just stop there. When Jesus died for your sin, He ascended on high and He sends the Helper. Because if you preach the gospel and you forget the ascension and the resurrection of Jesus, there is no power in it. Because how did He overcome death? There is that part of the gospel. I hear a lot of people talking about how the cross is of essence, and I'm not saying the cross is not of essence. It is of essence. But there's the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. That is the gospel and the life he calls us to. So when he ascended on high, he sent his Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth. I would not speak on his own accord, but whatever he hears the Father says concerning you, he speaks directly into your ear. The gospel of our Lord Jesus, the gifts that we have been given, that whatever war that is being waged, we know that Jesus has already overcome. And that is the victory, and that is the hope we carry in our hearts. That as he is, so are we on this earth. So the gospel is enough. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is enough to save you. It did not just save you from being a masturbator. It saved you from fear. It saved you from everything that the devil threw over you as fangs to hold you bound to himself. And he calls you righteous. He calls you pure. That's the power of the gospel. To bring someone who is unworthy. Because let's face it, what you deserved rightfully was destruction. But God said no. And his only begotten Son descended from on high and took your place. Even though, let's recount that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he toiled and he asked whether the cup could pass him by. But that was not the reason why he came. He understood that even if he was human and he had these emotions, what had to be done was God's will. So he laid his life down even before going to the cross. Jesus surrendered, constant in obedience. The Bible tells us because he had obeyed, God has highly exalted him above every other name that is named and given him a name. That at the name of Jesus, the only Son of God, every knee in the heavens, on earth, and under the earth must bow. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he toiled. And at the end of it, he chose God's will to be done. And even though this cup was painful, even though these people that were going to spit on him and call him names were those people he had provided bread for. Most definitely, maybe people that he had healed from infirmities. These are the people who are going to turn against him and call him names. He knew it was all for the purpose. It was for the joy that was set ahead of him, as scripture says, that he endured the cross. And you are that joy that was set ahead of Jesus, that he endured the cross for your sake and for your family's sake. Jesus died. I want you to feel the magnitude of that word. Jesus, he cost God's Son your salvation. God had to give his Son for you to be saved. And not just only you, other people. So how much toiling are you doing for the kingdom? Are you going out making disciples of all nations, teaching them whatever Jesus had commanded? Or are you playing safe Christianity? Christianity that has nothing to do with your death, but everything to do with you pleasing yourself and exalting yourself. That is not the gospel. The gospel is not that Jesus died so that you would have a big car and have a house. The gospel is not that you should go to school. That is not why Jesus died. You owed God. And you had to pay that debt with death, because the wages of sin is death. But God came to give eternal life through his Holy Son. To the gospel is that you were wandering, or you had already wandered. But this God that you hated so much because of the sin of your forefathers calls you to himself. Constantly calls you to himself, reconciling you to himself. Because of the sacrifice of his Holy Son, Jesus. I'm saying all this thing to go back to, are you making disciples of all nations? Or are you playing games with God? Are you trying to run away from the conversation that the Holy Spirit is calling you into? Have you been? Then this is a call out for you. Thank you for listening to this episode till this point. The links would be available in the description, the links for the full gospel, for you to soak in it and know the reason why Jesus died for you. And you can also use the timings on the description link to join us for fellowship and break bread with us where I sit and share the gospel. Thank you. Meditate on all these words that have been uttered and ask God for help, because He's the ever-present help in the times of need, and you need Him now. Thank you.